Blog Talk Radio.
Important telephone calls this evening, some very interesting conversations taking place. Yep. So that's what I'm doing. You're listening to Navajo Internet Radio, and you're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. And I urge people to call in and please share with us your thoughts, your ideas, how things are turning out. Hold on one second. Okay. And just Navajo politics. We're going to talk about the president's office or president candidate selection and also the vice president's. You know, this is the time to do it. We have up until tomorrow to share, I guess not until tomorrow. We got till November, but you know, in terms of what's in the air, what's going on, and you can call in and let's talk. So I'm sending out all of my emails or text, Facebook postings and shares. So please give us a call. Here, the telephone number is 321. No, that's my number. Sorry. Okay, the telephone number here is 323-642-1708. Again, telephone number is 323-642-1708. And you are welcome to give me a call and let me know what's on your mind. I think that we'll also have another show tomorrow night. We're going to keep talking about this. Are there any concerns, any issues that you have? Are we happy? Are we mad? Are we indifferent? Are there alternatives? I guess the most important question here, why are we feeling this way? And if so, what is in store for the Navajo people? So, is there any reason to doubt the Navajo Nation's finalists, the two? If your answer is yes, let us know. If your answer is no, let us know. Are there any reasons to also doubt the vice president's selection? You know, we say all sorts of stuff on the internet. You know, I think that's one place where we can kind of be a little secure and hide behind Facebook and really not say much. That's the same thing as not voting. It's another issue, another concern. And now I give a format, an opportunity for people to call in and share their thoughts. As of yesterday, we had lots of listeners, a lot of archive downloads, and now, you know, the primaries did take place. Of course, you guys know what the outcome of that was, but I really think that, you know, the here and now is that, what are the issues? Are there any issues? And one thing that I haven't brought up yet, which I was hoping this, you know, that we can talk about this a little earlier, and that is how important, or is it important, that the Navajo people or the candidates for the vice president and, is it important that the Navajo presidents and also the vice presidents to have a spouse and also the culture of their spouse? Is that not important, or is it important? What do you guys think? I would like to hear from you as to what your thoughts are. So please give me a call here at my already, you know, I'm posting this online. And the reason why that I'm getting on the call an hour late is because I've had some very interesting telephone calls and some very interesting discussion taking place. And so are there any other concerns? And there's a lot of people who, you know, just sit on the sideline and not say much. And for me, I think that is a mistake, because I'll tell you why. Because people, they tend to say all sorts of things on the internet, but really cannot voice the same thing while being on the air. Because saying something on the air versus saying something on the internet is quite a different experience. And to say it with some power and with some real solution and some factual information behind it, I think, you know, it's a little bit more difficult. But nonetheless, you know, I welcome everybody. I'd love to hear from you. The telephone number again here is 323-642-1708. So just to kind of set the stage a little bit now, the primary election is nearly over, about a week and a half now. And there was a 10-day grace period of how if there's going to be any changes in terms of or any complaints that were going to take place. And a lot of discussion that people are very, very concerned about the two finalists. And I'd like to know, what is it that you guys are not happy with, and what is it that you guys are happy about? And again, I mean, I'm going to keep pushing this thing. I want to hear from you. I see all sorts of Facebook posting. I want to have you say that on air. All you listeners out there, all of you Facebookers on Politics on the Navajo Nation, I welcome you to come on the air and chat with me, share with me what your thoughts are. And the telephone number here is 323-642-1708. The president, the two finalists, Dr. Joe Shirley Jr. from Chinle, Arizona, and he had over 10,000 votes. And the second place finisher was Christus Cheatney from Litchi, Arizona, with a little bit over 9,000 votes. And as of yesterday, Dr. Joe Shirley Jr. selected Dineh Benally, who is the son of Donald Benally, creating a very interesting scenario. And, of course, he didn't get any votes and quite new to the arena. And what does that create by him being the son of Donald Benally? And is there a concern? And if so, what is it? Give us a call. The other one is Christus Cheatney for his selected Fanny Etzidi from Shiprock. Very interesting scenario now that we have two vice president selections that are from Shiprock. Shiprock, New Mexico. What is it about that Shiprock? Seems to be kind of the political mecca of the Navajo Nation. And we've had, from one town, four candidates that ran for the Navajo Nation. Dwayne Chiliazi, the other one, Russell Begay, Donald Benally, and Dan Smith. And now we have two vice presidents that are selected. Now, the vetting, in terms of vetting the vice presidents, would it have been a much easier task if any of these presidents could have gone with any of the losing candidates? Because the losing candidates already had all sorts of, that we had placed on the forefront. And they've already been there. Our name was right there on the forefront, and they at least brought in some votes. And so why do you think that maybe some of the candidates should have been out of the 17, do you think that the candidates, the losing candidates, should have at least been in the process? And I'm not saying that just for me. I'm just asking you a question. What are your thoughts? Would that have been better so we could have avoided this oops scenario? The oops scenario is where, all of a sudden people said, well, I've heard this. I have heard this. Where people said, oh, that's it. Dide kai tai nisigi primaries, yet the otisi. A ko he sha shasto, aja chi hit nol chi. E aro she khedi she be kaiten de shot no e aro ban hat. Well, afterwards aro cho e aj na ki go chi hinel cha. And now it's like, oops. Well, I don't like those two. Or I do like those two. And then oh, yeah, I'm glad that these two finish, and then all of a sudden they make their selection for the vice president. You know, is anybody really happy? And do we now try to rock the boat and try to do something a little different? Or do we continue to, or do we get behind what's going on right now and say, let's move on and let's get on with the next level of politicking and let's finish. And so these are some of the issues that only you, the listeners and the voters, can answer. You know, I think that the 17 or the rest of the 15, I think they did their darndest to share a different view, a different avenue. And now it's like there seems to be a wave happening across the nation on reservation and off reservation. It's like, you know what, maybe I should have voted. Maybe I should have supported that candidate or this candidate. So are we ever going to be satisfied? Well, I don't, in the political arena, the answer is no. But there are after the facts, and if you didn't vote, and all of a sudden now we have two candidates that have finished, whether we like it or whether we don't like it, the fact of the matter is this. Whose fault is it if you don't? If you didn't like the fact that these two front runners finished, but you didn't vote and you didn't do anything about it, and neither did you do anything about it after the fact, and you could have certainly done something, and so now here we are. So I can't answer these questions for you. Only you can, and I want to know about it. I want you to come online and share all of this with us, and I want to hear from you, the Navajo people. It doesn't matter to me where you're calling from, just as long as you call in, let's talk about this. Are there any alternatives? Is there anything in the works, or are we just going to move forward and be very upset and disgruntled and say that I'm not going to vote and then move off the reservation. I'm just kidding. You're not going to move off the reservation. But and are we still frustrated and upset with all of the or what is it? Are you happy? If you're happy, well, call in. Share with us your happiness. And why that you feel like that everything's just hunky-dory. So, here we are. Again, you're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez, Navajo Internet Radio, and welcome. Auto Vice President Akilina Dasatagi Joy Sohne Anana Ehuto Ibikitahotini join his Bahusen. A cord A dats Nihisana Todats a hut Ada Khalit Khalit Oban so case Joy bin Yakudo Huto Pekisahuiz net old lace. Do ban date in the list, Nabakia tail tito list. Joe Benia, a court, you all corrod or Tobel was this day, dot on a reddit or don't you chona lon jura or eight or the doshin to doshin to hayat eta. Arati hut oban it, you know, do banakiel t he go to she ashini he ye to 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 joha de shi ti de na hatta se ti ye go to beni na che na ko ye ka to de li shi ha de shi ho to na be ki ye ki to to ba ne to a de shi ho to ba ho ni ti ho te to na kin li go na ha na ha ki to ka joy beni ya joy ho to e e na ko joy business da ho ta na re a legends on na hatajins on aro kwege hwa o inso a lecha na hanegi e kon de hon haya han hatta kon sinne lugo kodojins on hei la hot oi bitche market e de shi bitche bo o shkato le aro e hei to e hu shane di yosne to hot o aro bini nacha e peso be e de shi lo hon sha alchine baby gina zildo le joy to no a or ye plan doit a sahadjin inta di kujin hinahat a din hi government do not e lidavidi no ho ha shibe yade inil che ako a di shenghe to o da zue hut on hi lho za o da zue hut o so ni hi lho nest o da zibin ni na kujit o a basa na hi si tana hadlo e da zue e do tau Oh, Shohon, Egon Dashil, Nesho Canada, be Kate and Seek, a Jan Hahonez Nand, Kodo Egon Hahonez Nanigi, Hela, Kade, Kodo, Lan, Hatnenigi, what is it? And that's what I'm looking for. Again, the telephone number here is 323-642-1708. 323-642-1708. And Tracy Chapman is called A New Beginning. Really look at the words. Look at the, or listen to the lyrics. Listen to the words. Listen to the message. Should we have been educating ourselves about the candidates, educating if you create the scenario, maybe a certain conglomerate should have supported one and really gotten behind for a real, true new beginning.
can break the cycle. We can break the chain. We can start all over in the new beginning. We can learn, we can teach, we can share the myths, the dreams, the prayers, the notion we can do better. Change our lives and paths, create a new
Nez. This is Cal Nez. The call-in telephone number here is 323-642-1708, and I welcome those who have joined us. I appreciate it, and we're going to be talking about the Navajo Nation general elections, the Navajo Nation Office of the President, the two top finishers, and also their vice president selection. What are your thoughts? Call in, and we need to continue to talk about our Navajo Nation government. Please, you know, I want to hear from you. I am very, very curious because I think we need to continue to talk about our government. And for us just to walk away from our government after whether our candidates won or lost and they misselected of what we said, you know, there's all those type of issues. Here's one question that's posted on Politics on the Navajo Nation. It says, hey, Cal Nez, how do we go about as a tribe and request the federal or the FBI or the IRS or any other feds to come in and do a federal audit of our leaders and get these people, get these guys some real time that they deserve, question mark, question mark, question mark. Another interesting post. I'm also going to go to another one. So the telephone number here is, I'm going to write this thing down so I don't have to keep switching back and forth between the two different pages. So, yeah, let me see. You know, with a lot of people, oh, wow. There's a lot of people here now. So, awesome. Welcome. This is Cal Nez. Politics with Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. I welcome you. I'm looking forward to having a healthy discussion. And so I'm very, very pleased about this. And we have about 40 minutes. And the telephone number here is 323-642-1708. And I'm going to now go back to the Facebook page. And, excuse me, it says by another post. I'm looking at the Facebook. These are not my words. These are what I'm seeing on Facebook. I'm sure you see it. Politics on the Navajo Nation group page. And there's a photograph. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people in a photograph. Maybe I shouldn't talk about that one, so I'll just move on past that one. Let me see. The other one is... oh, yeah. Interesting. There's a lot of stuff going on here. Here's another post. It says, just to get this out of there, just to get this out of my system, I guess he was trying to say, or she, Ashki, anyway, just to get this out of there, I was at a grazing committee meeting in Delcon today, and they are already starting to enforce and go the way of the Rangeland Act. I was told the need to GPS my land and have a plan of order in order to do a grazing transfer. These are things that have not been passed into law. I argued with the BIA official. How can you enforce something that has not even been voted on yet? He continued to say, this is a new procedure, LOL, seriously. I asked again and pointed to a copy of the proposed in Rangeland Act. You mean I have to follow laws that haven't been voted on? He said it was policy. I asked, policy? You mean you're telling me things change and you are enforcing law that have been voted on? He continued on and then reiterated in Navajo to everyone, as any politician would, backed into a corner saying it was beneficial for the Navajo people to follow the new law. Me, as I was standing there, asked again, you mean the law that is not in this proposal? It is crazy to think how politics plays out on the reservation. No wonder we are in such dire straits now. And that's what the one writer, and here is pushed the wrong button. Here's another interesting post on Facebook. So I'm just kind of looking through, since it looks like there's a lot of listeners, and I welcome you. On the page, I appreciate it. I appreciate you, but, you know, it's one thing just listening in, as is for I want to hear from you. Please give me a call, 801. No, it's not 801. It is 323-642-1708. And, yeah, wow, there's a lot of people listening. I appreciate it. Again, thank you very, very much for joining us, and we're going to continue to discuss these very, very important issues. And but just to sit behind and not say anything and you know what, that's also a disservice, as well as, you know, things like not bringing or not voting. So there are all these things that we need to be always mindful of. And so I'm just kind of scanning through Facebook while, you know, there's a lot of discussion, a lot of dialogue. And so I was supposed to go back on a teleconference, but I'm sure they understand. I already told them that I was going to be doing my radio show, and because of the teleconference, I am late, and I apologize to you if you were waiting, but I appreciate you coming back and being with me this evening. So, is the intent like the song A New Beginning with Tracy Chapman that says start all over? Does that mean starting all over with a new government like Chiliazzi said? Or is it like we meant to say that we should have supported? And I think here's really what I think happened. A lot of people said, I'm not going to vote. I'm just going to wait until the general. And after that, then I'll vote and I'll join up in hopes that one of the new people would finish in the top, and then they would then be satisfied and happy that they're just going to go in there and join up with who was the top finishers. But after that, after they realize that that didn't happen, and it's like, oops, now people are scrambling, and they're running around, and is that right? Is that not right? Is that the right thing to do, to say? Should we just move on and get on with business and just realize that, you know, by not voting, some people, you know, it didn't take the responsibility. And if there's certain mistakes or irresponsibility, then they should have maybe taken a now, do they have the right? Do we have the right to sit there and say anything about it? Oh, okay. We have a caller. It looks like from Idaho. So, caller, you are on the air. Can you please give us your name and where you're calling from, and are you got a question or a comment?
Yeah, this is Carolyn Benelis, and I'm not in Idaho, but my husband's
from... That's what it says.
Oh, I know.
That's
my husband
really
has
weird.
A call from Idaho. So...
Yes, hey, oh my gosh, it is so good to hear from you. Wow, thank you for calling, but I still say you're still in Idaho because your phone says that.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
My family. Go out there, pick potatoes.
Oh,
but
see,
I was listening, and I was thinking about the number of that people didn't want to vote. Now there's a lot of people that are saying they're not going to vote because there's these two candidates they're not happy with.
What do you think about that?
I think you really need to vote. Because if you don't vote, this is what happens. It's apathy. So, it's almost like you don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it very difficult, you know, if you're trying to pick a leader who will make change. And I, you know, I appreciate Chris Cheney. He's a young man. He's got this wonderful degree. Everybody's always talking about it. I was actually one of the people that made a comment regarding his signing the document. Now, I didn't make this document, but you should have seen the Facebook post, and you saw it.
I saw that one. You had a nearly 500 response.
Yes, and it's ridiculous. You know, when you sign a document saying, yes, I speak and understand Navajo fluently, then you should. Now, apparently there's no testing that goes on at the election office when you sign up.
Yeah.
So this got mad. And I'll be honest, Cal, I was paying no attention to any of the candidates. I had one candidate in mind here, and I listened and I watched and paid attention. I'm not going to say which one that is. You know, though.
Fair
anyway,
enough.
Anyway, and it was very interesting to see the saturation of candidates in the northern area.
Mm-hmm.
In northern agency, we had 5 candidates. And none of them did well because our region was so divided among the 5 people. I think that was...
I thought there was
not,
4. There was
5. Well, I'm talking about you two. You were here. This is your part of northern agency.
Northern. Okay.
But I think that if we had come together and just had one candidate that we could have stood behind, we would have been a
mm-hmm.
strong force. But we
mm-hmm.
were so divided in this area among
mm-hmm.
the 5 candidates that it was,
mm-hmm.
you know, it wasn't going to be good. We knew that right from the beginning because there was just too many candidates in our area. I mean, I think it's great, but at the same time, I think we needed to back one candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't know how we could have done it. I don't know, how we could have selected one person from our area to do that. 17
mm-hmm.
candidates is a lot. There was a lot of educating to do. There was a lot of, you know, educating of self about the people that were running to do. And
do you think that happened? Do you think that people really went in there and said, okay, this is this candidate, blah, blah, blah? Do you think they really studied them?
No. I'll be honest, because I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at,
okay.
I knew some of these people. I knew some of them that, you know, I knew a little bit of history on them, and I thought, I don't know if I want that person. But
mm-hmm.
I was hoping to get somebody new. Joe Shirley's great. He's an MSW. I have to admire him. You know, I have an MSW.
Mm-hmm.
So, but to me, running a third term is not the best thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Peter McDonald. He ran, how many terms did he run? He had how many consecutive terms? I think 3? And then he was voted out. He was voted out, then he came back. When he came back, it wasn't the best thing in the world. You know, we end up getting indicted for all kinds of things. And, I mean, Window Rock went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in 89, that riot and everything. You know, I worry about that. You know, there's
mm-hmm.
a certain amount of arrogance that goes with putting yourself out there in the public. And that arrogance sometimes becomes real selfish. And that's what
mm-hmm.
I saw with Mr. McDonald, the Honorable McDonald. Now, I love that man. I think he was one of the great leaders. I always say that. He was one of our great leaders.
Mm-hmm.
But there comes a time when you need to just step back and let other people take a turn.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I'm a little concerned with the two. I mean, I know both.
Do you really mean a little? Do you really mean a little or a lot?
Okay, a lot.
Now,
I know.
Now here's one thing I just want to just kind of just for the discussion's sake, I want to just throw this out there, Shada. Okay, isn't it just ironic that it seems like the political mecca seems to be turning out to be in Shiprock, but the ironic thing about there was five from Northern Agency that you say, and then two that ran from the same area, which was over in Lecce, but nonetheless, now we have two vice presidents from the same area. What does that tell us about our politics now? What do you think?
To me, Northern Agency is a big force. I mean, we're a huge, tremendous force. If we had that one candidate, we would have won, but we didn't. Mm-hmm. There was five candidates, and those five candidates, our votes were dispersed among them. And had we backed just one person, we would have been strong. As it was, we were a weak area. The two candidates who got to the top are looking for the Navajo vote, the northern Navajo vote. And that was their choice in getting these two people. I know Donald Benally, and I'm aware of his son, Dinev, but I don't know him. I went to school with Fanny. I think she's a wonderful lady. So it makes it even more difficult at this point because you're looking at not just the vice president, you're also looking at the president. So whether you like Dinev Benally or Fanny Lowe, it makes it difficult to choose if you're not pleased with the two candidates, the presidential candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the vote that they're looking for now is not the vote for the president, it's the vote for the vice president in this area, in the northern area.
Mm.
That's what I think.
But do you think that now that they've selected from the Shiprock area, do you think that the Shiprock folks or Northern Agency is going to unify? Now you've got two candidates, and it's further going to split the Northern Agency, even between families, because I understand that they're somewhat related indirectly.
Oh, I think we've always been pretty vocal and independent in how we voted. I heard about some of the stuff that went on at the chapters. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true because I'll be honest, I don't go down there. A few times I've been down there, it's usually dominated by certain people, and I'll sit and I'll listen, and then, you know, it's once in a great while I'll say something. But for the most part, I guess I need to get myself back into that chapter house mode. But I'm not. So here I am, and I really do think that we have some pretty intelligent people in this area, and they will, you know, and they will back family. That's true. They will back family. But they also know. Some of them know personally these people, while others don't. I know Donald, but I don't know Dineh. And I know Fanny. I went to school with her. So, you know, the first thing I thought is she's an educator. She taught classes. She taught school. I don't know Dineh. I know that he coached that youth team in Farmington, but I don't, you know, I've never really paid attention. So I guess it would just depend on how we feel about those people as leaders. How did they present themselves before? You know, what did they present to us when we were in the chapter houses? What did they present to us when we were out in the public?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be how it depends. And yeah, we do vote family.
Yeah. Here's one of the things that I, you know, conclude with as far as, you know, there are some things that I know that are kind of on the horizon right now with the deadline for any type of complaint that are going to happen, which is tomorrow, I guess, at by 5 o'clock. But does that where do we go from here now? I mean, because it's like we should have been right there in the hunt, so to speak. We should have been, as voters, I'm talking about voters, us Navajo people out here.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I was one of the candidates, but I think that from my observation now as post-primary, I'm beginning to sense that a lot of people were sitting on the fence saying that, well, is kind of what I've heard a lot. Now, but that kind of, it appears to me like that's kind of backfired a little bit. Because
yeah.
Now people are now saying, oops, gosh, I should have participated, but I'm totally not very happy with the two front runners. Now, having said that, what do you think? Where are we going now?
Now I'm just hearing rumors that there is going to be a challenge to the signing of that document that said, yes, I understand and speak Navajo fluently. So there may be a challenge. I would like to see what happens. I'm just hearing the rumors, okay?
Right.
So I don't know if it's going to happen. My understanding is they needed, is it 5,000? 5,000? Signatures from registered voters.
That's if a private individual does it, but if a candidate, they don't need that any signatures. They can just file as individual.
Ah, yeah, that was my understanding. But I'm thinking that there's going to be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting to see what happens.
Let's say the challenge does happen, then what is the challenge?
My understanding is that the document that was signed saying I speak and understand Navajo fluently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the other thing I heard is that the term fluent is also being discussed and reviewed in the courts. So the courts will determine what fluent is, what degree of Navajo do you speak in order to be determined as fluent.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes an issue. But how much Navajo do you speak? Now, I speak Navajo. I grew up in Clavito.
Uh-huh.
I didn't speak English until, I don't know, about 4 maybe, because mm-hmm. I remember we moved over here to the BIA complex. My mom, she worked up at the BIA school. That's where she remembers Donald from. She thought he was just a little cutie. But that's where I first really started speaking English, because I got a little friend that was teaching me English, and I was teaching her Navajo. I mean, you know, we it was fun. She was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
She passed away one summer when I went to my Nelly's house, and I came back, mm-hmm. and she was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I remember growing up, is that I remember speaking Navajo, you know, Shinalapichalana.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was just me and my Nelly. And that's how I grew up. When I got mm-hmm. to first grade, I remember my first grade teacher's name was Mrs. Todd. At that time, you weren't allowed to speak Navajo.
Mm-hmm.
So they sat a boy, girl. They didn't realize it. I guess they were trying to put that little bit of division in. Well, I grew up
right.
with two boys. I have an older brother and I have a younger brother. So I don't have an issue with talking to boys. But there was three of us in a row like that. And we were just talking and joking around, and then we got called on. She took the first boy and stood him in the top, at the front of the class, and she took the ruler and hit him on the back of the hand. I always remember, this really burned a memory in my head. It also determined I am never going to speak Navajo again.
Hmm.
I felt so bad for him when his face turned red and he couldn't cry. And then she sent him to the office. That's the only thing I remember out of the first grade.
Yeah.
So,
well, we're so familiar with those type of things, you know, mm-hmm. throughout our Navajo history, and now all of a sudden that language was also used in the in a war to, you know, by the United States, the very language that was, you know, denied from us, and now it's really coming back to our own culture right now. That's kind of
mm-hmm.
a very interesting thing. Now we have a whole society of Navajos that either speak Navajo and English, or there's some that, you know, that don't speak very little English and a lot of Navajo, and just the opposite is full English and understand Navajo, and so that very thing is now cropping up. So now, you know, one thing that I was thinking about here is that another part of that verbiage that's in the qualification for the president's listing was the word must. What
yes.
you know, the word must is it really is not clearly defined what must speak fluent Navajo versus if it says shall. See, that's one of the things that's also coming up. I don't know, is that, you know, is it the, you know, you said that they're now looking at what fluent means, fluency. But for me as a candidate, here's exactly what happened. I drove to the Navajo Nation Elections Office. I walked upstairs to one of those converted hotel rooms. And said that I am going to file, and the people in there, they hustled around, got the paperwork, brought it out to me. They said, well, this you need to sign, you need to fill out, this one too, and that one. I remember three forms, and I still have that hanging on my wall right now. And from there, in fact, let me bring it down. I'm going to read this here. Hold on. Okay. The paperwork that I sign is, it's titled Navajo Nation Election Administration Candidate Application Checkoff Sheet. Issued to Calvin Nez, Chapter Sanasti, Position Navajo Nation President. And it says, and then there was a check-off, and they just checked it off and said, here, the rest of the paper. Candidate application with oath, 2 pages, parentheses. Candidate application are subject to challenge by opposing candidates for the same office within 10 days of eligibility certification. And then there was another sheet of paper that was given to me, qualification sheet for above-listed position, and then ethics clearance and filing fees, which was $1,500, and then the ballot photograph taken by the Nomination Election Administration pursuant to 11 NCC, blah, blah, blah. And then I signed. They put the date and time, and it was signed. And then I was asked to drive up to the Navajo Nation's election, ethics and rules. I got there, walked in, presented my papers, and they went to their computer, punched a few buttons, and within nearly 5 minutes came back and said, okay, and they signed off. They wrote a letter. I then took that letter back down to the elections office, walked in, and then they accepted it, and they took my checks at that point, and they said, now go down the hallway and to have your picture taken. I walked in, sat there, and smiled. They took about 4 or 5 pictures, and I said, well, I kind of like that one. Then they clicked on it, and they said, you're done. And that was it. So
no requirements.
Neither anywhere did anybody sit down and say with me, Mr. Nez, sit here right in front of me. Could you please share with us? Let's go down the qualifications list at one time. When it came to the fluency, there was no test whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
That was my experience. Now, also as a candidate, I didn't know who filed. So to say anything at that point, and then once I found out that, I didn't know if Chris or Moroni or Dan Smith, any of these people, if they spoke fluent Navajo, and I just, at that point, then I posted that on Facebook and said, I was never tested. In other words, what I was trying to say was that was any other candidate tested, and if so, how were they tested, and who gave him that test? Now, fast forwarding to now, we're being haunted by that very same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what to say. If there's going to be a challenge, how much is that challenge going to be valid, and what are they going to use, and how long is it going to take? And would another question, too, is, ladies and gentlemen, if this whole thing was not properly, this election was not properly executed by way of going step by step and really defining and going down and going over with every filing requirements, then if that didn't happen with me, it most likely didn't happen with any of the other candidates. Therefore, this whole election process was totally not conducted as it should have been. Therefore, should it be null and void? What do you think?
I think it was a learning experience. I think from here on, the election office will be familiar and aware of what they wrote on that document. We had nothing to do with that that criteria that was set forth to be a running president, a candidate.
Right.
So because of this controversy that's going on right now, I think it's going to set precedents for the future candidates. If it says you must speak and understand Navajo fluently, I think that will become a test that the election office is going to have to look at. We do things. We just kind of follow along. Okay, we just say, okay, this, and this, okay. But a lot of times we don't pay attention until we're challenged, until a question comes up. And in this situation, the election office will be aware. They're going to become aware of that. It's going to be like a little poke from here on. So in this situation, I don't know what's going to happen. Once they challenge it, I don't know what's going to happen. People are talking about fundamental law, saying that's going to overturn it. People are, you know, there's other things. But to me, there was an oath taken. You signed a document, you made an oath that you speak and understand Navajo fluently. All of you did that. Not just, you know, not just one person. All of you did that when you applied for that, to run for the Navajo Nation president. We sign documents. All of us do. I mean, we go over here to BIA and maybe we need to do something over there. Here, sign right here. A lot of times we don't read it. We just sign.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be aware of that, you know, what we're signing from here on. We're going to be aware that when I say I speak and understand Navajo fluently, I better speak and understand Navajo fluently. Now I'm hearing about some testing that will determine fluency, how fluent you are. But you have to remember, Cal, that we are in a world right now where many of our children and they don't speak Navajo. They might understand it, but they don't speak it. They're not speakers. And so, you know, what is going to determine fluency? We have a lot of the politicians, a lot of the people in Window Rock, especially Mr. Shirley, speaks, you know, excellent Navajo. As a matter of fact, that's how he caught my attention. My mom is from Nagiji. And we had there was a meeting that they had to go there for when he first ran. I don't even remember what year that was, but I took her out there to Nagizi chapter, and we were sitting among the crowd. Excellent Navajo. I mean, just won me over just like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, wonderful. I really liked his words. And that's what won me over for him then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see. And I listen to your Navajo. You've got really good speaking skills. You have a business in Salt Lake City. And you've really maintained your Navajo, which I'm very proud of.
Mm-hmm.
I think for many of us, like me, I've learned how to live in the Lakota world, and I kind of left my Navajo language back. That little first grader back in whatever year it was saw this thing and decided I wasn't going to speak Navajo again because I didn't want my hand hit with a ruler.
Yeah.
And then AIM came along, and people don't like AIM, and they say that, you know, they're the reason that Fairchild shut down. I think Fairchild was going to get out anyway. So that was a good excuse for them to get out. But that group, despite their the things that happened, they brought back...
We have about 1 minute left, so let's...
They brought back a feeling of pride for our people. So to me, that was very important. That's when I said, okay, I'm going to pick up my Navajo again. I taught Navajo to my Nala and my family around.
Nice.
But I didn't do it out in public.
Yeah.
So to me, that was very important. But I think when you sign a document saying that you are fluent, then you should be fluent. But the testing part, I don't know how much the testing is going to come in. I don't think that we have enough people. If they're going to determine the fluency to be at a higher degree, then I think you're going to lose a lot of people. So, you know, it's something that really needs to be thought out. You can't just say, okay, because I speak this way and everything, that everybody else should speak that same way.
Yeah. That sounds good. Well, we're out of time, and we'll continue to discuss this, and I appreciate you calling in, Shetta. Thank you again. And all you listeners out there, thank you very much. This has been a real nice discussion, and I appreciate everybody and everyone out there. And thanks for joining us, And thanks for all of the people who are listening to this program. There's a lot of people out there. Again, thank you. This is Cal Nez, and you have listened to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. Okay, Alan, how going there?